a little bit. We'll talk to Patrick and Lisa Cohen about what it takes to be a good sports parent. Like I said, I don't know. I've never been. My parents were never that way. They never pushed me. They kind of discouraged me playing sports. Maybe because I'm a little guy. They're afraid I'll get hurt. No, anyway. So, you know, with my daughter, she's played soccer. She's played T-ball. She has played basketball. So it's, you know, not that big of a deal to me. I mean, it's just something I sit back, enjoy, watch her play. And, you know, when the game's over, we talk about it real quick. And then we'll just, go on to the next game. She doesn't get too high, too low on, you know, what's going on in her game. Once the game's over, she gets it home. She starts playing GameCube or whatever the things she has, all of those different game systems. She'll do that, and it doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter at all whether they won the game or lost the game. She'll give me a quick, Dad, we lost, and, you know, kind of upset. So let's go ahead and get the first. Who do we have on?
We got Patrick.
Okay, well, we'll go to the phone. We'll talk with Patrick first, Patrick Cohen. And is it Dr. Cohen? Is that how
yes.
I address you?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today, Doctor?
Good, Drake. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're trying to actually get your sister on the line here as well, but having some phone problems. But I do want to talk to you because I got your press release, and you've worked with a lot of athletes working on mental toughness, and one of the things we see a lot of these days is we see the news reports of where parents take it too far, and they go after referees or coaches, and they go after other parents in some instances. Are parents just taking sports way too serious at this point?
Well, many do. It doesn't sound like you do with your children, but yes.
I try not to.
There's many parents out there that take it way too far. They get way too emotionally invested in their child's performance. And honestly, they, in essence, they vicariously live through their children in sports. And they really, really want their kids to succeed badly, and they're willing to go beyond the limits of what's acceptable to help them get any advantage they can. And it's just too bad.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that comes to my mind right away is, you know, they're living through their kid and doing this type of behavior. It's not helping the kid much. It's not helping them in the game and off the field as well. I'm sure it's not helping.
No, it's not. I just got an email from a parent from a 14-year-old wrestler who's been wrestling for 10 years. They say he's very talented, but now the expectations are getting to them that he feels like he has to go and win every match, and he doesn't want to play anymore because he's starting to feel that parental pressure and that coaching pressure that he needs to crank it up a notch and win everything, and it's just not fun for him anymore. And that's why most kids drop out of sports by the age of 15, because it's just not fun or becomes way too serious and pressure-packed.
Yeah, and it just sounds like that is the case a lot. Do we put too much emphasis, I guess, as a country, America in general, on being number one and being a winner, and that carries on to youth sports?
Well, I think there's a lot of things, but yeah, I would generally agree with that. Being number one, being a winner, maybe having a successful career in sports, you know, often it's an avenue for success for many kids where, you know, they see role models in the media being successful, being praised, held in high esteem. And, you know, a lot of the students that work with me really, they crave that. They want to be in that position to be number one and to get respect. Look, it's another way to get what we call social approval. If you get to the top of your sport and you feel like other people are holding you in high esteem, that's kind of a feather in a person's cap where they feel respected and they feel liked. And it's the wrong motivation, but I think in today's society you see a lot of that.
Yeah, we see it all over with the news reports, and you see it out of youth games. I've actually seen it at some of my daughter's games as well, and I just kind of sit back and, you know, I don't even want to, you know, get near that parent. Talking with Dr. Patrick Cohen about what it takes to be a good sports parent, and you have put together, along with your sister, a kind of a workbook and CD on what it takes to be a good sports parent. And what's the overall synopsis of this workbook, and what are you trying to get tell the parents in being a good sports parent?
Well, there's two objectives of the ultimate sports parent. What we wanted to do is we wanted to help parents be good parents. We wanted them to teach them how to behave after games when their kid has a loss, and we wanted to teach them how to behave before games and during games to be a good sports parent. In addition, from my perspective, I wanted to instill in parents the idea of these are the important mental skills, confidence and focus and trying not to be perfect and having correct goals. All these mental skills that I teach to my students in mental coaching and sports psychology, we want parents to have this mental training resource too, so they can instill it onto their child. So when I work with a kid, I want the parents involved. I want them involved to the extent that they're supporting my efforts in helping the kid reach their peak performance with these mental skills. And, of course, they can be applied to life as well. You know, so these skills that we're teaching, what we call the mental game skills in the workbook, are skills for life as well. And, you know, and who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when you work with these kids, you find it is more beneficial to, you know, work with the parents, and once you work with them and all the stuff you were just telling me, it translates to the kid, and then he's able to or she's able to, perform better once the parents kind of push themselves out of it a little bit.
Well, perform better, have more fun, have more pressure-free experience, but yes, and the more the parents involved, the more they need this information. If a parent is steps back like you do and just lets their child go and have fun in sports, that's great. You're not really that involved. But if a parent is really involved, for example, I work with a lot of motocross families where the parent is the coach, the parent is the mechanic, the parent is the owner. They wear so many hats and they're so involved, they need this information. So when I have a motocross family come in, the parents are just as important part of the team, and I need to work with the parents just as much as I need to work with the child.
Now, do you find that when you're working with these kids and with the parents, that you mentioned the motocross, is it more sports that are just, you know, parents get involved with, like you said, the coach, the mechanic, all aspects of it, more so than team sports?
No, I think you can see the overzealous, you know, soccer mom or dad, or the overzealous golf mom or dad. So it's team sports, it's individual sports, but there's certain sports where parents take on these extra roles, like in racing, where they're invested. I mean, I had one kid that his father went and mortgaged the home so they could buy a motor home to travel around the country. Talk about pressure to reach your peak and get to the professional ranks. I mean, that's really hard, you know, when the dad mortgages the home and puts everything into the kid's racing, takes them out of school and homeschools them, and then the child feels like, well, all this is for me. I better make something of my racing career.
Yeah, that is a lot of pressure, talking with Dr. Vactor going about what it takes to be a good sports parent. We'll have to have your sister on here in just a little bit. I thought we'll have her separately. But how much pressure is too much?
Well, I think when the child starts to interpret your comments as expectations. Now, expectations in my book are really negative or harmful, because what happens is a parent will be very well-meaning and tell the child, you can do this. You can shoot even par today. You can score 4 goals today. And what happens is the child sometimes will twist that around on their own and go, oh, well, my parents expect me to win, or expect me to be the leading scorer today, or expect me to shoot even par, and they turn it into pressure. Expectations, from my perspective, is not confidence. Expectations is pressure, which causes kids to focus too much up on obtaining the end result. And when a kid's focused on obtaining the end result as opposed to having fun in the moment, it's very difficult for them to perform their best. We talk about in the Ultimate Sports Parent Workbook about how kids need to learn, and parents need to learn how to teach kids to focus on the moment and the process and let results take care of themselves and not pressure the kids so much to get certain results like a good batting statistics or points per game or, you know, or score per round or whatever it is. We tell them to move away from those statistics and pressure and expectation and think about how you can encourage your child to just have fun in the moment with sports. When kids are doing that, they perform their best.
Yeah, I know, you know, mentioning fun, mentioning the kids having fun. Something else I know you're talking about, the kid thinking, well, I have to win all the time. How does a parent, how should a parent cope with a kid's defeat, you know, and not put that pressure on their child?
We talk a lot about trying not to be negative and focus on errors. There's always a silver lining that maybe the child had some great passes or maybe the child hit some great shots or whatever it may be. You can always focus on an aspect of performance that the child is doing good. So what we say is maybe the team lost, okay, but let's look at your performance and let's look at what you're doing, the improvement you're making, the skill that you're mastering through playing on the team. So we try to focus it on very positive comments from the parents. The kids often know that they lost. They know what they did wrong. Most of the athletes that I work on are very hard on themselves and are already beating themselves up. It's not good for confidence. So anything that a parent can do to help a child feel confident after that loss and not lose faith in their ability is a positive.
And I think it's easy to find those things, too. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. By the way, that's Lisa Cohen, his sister. We got some phone problems worked out. We appreciate you holding on for us. And you want to continue that comment here? We got a couple minutes, and then we'll hold you over for the next segment as well.
Sure. I just want to say it's usually easy to find positive things in their performance. If they were a good team player, if they made an assist, if they worked well with someone they didn't work well with in the past, it's really easy to find good things that they've done in a game.
Yeah, it just seems a lot of times I leave my daughter's games and I'm hearing some parents say, okay, well, you did this, you need to improve this. I just kind of keep quiet and I'll tell her in the car later, hey, you did good. I mean, you did it. That was a good game. Is that the best way to approach it, or am I in the minority in this situation?
You probably are in the minority, which is not good news, but it sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Well, hopefully. You know, she does tell me, Dad, I don't want to hear it. I just want to go play video games right now.
Yeah, sometimes leaving the sport on the field is the best way to go, Drake. I mean, having them enjoy the sport and then not dwelling on it for an hour after the game in the car ride home and not dwelling on the mistakes, but just saying, hey, nice game. Now, you know, let's go have fun with your friends or let's go have fun with your video games.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the question I was going to ask you, Doctor, was, we talked about the fact that a lot of parents are living through their kids, living their athletic dreams through their kids. Is that the case with parents that just kind of flame out in their athletic hopes? Are they the ones that push more so than some of the other parents?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's the parents that had some type of a sports background or some type of a sports career, and they sense a real value in being an athlete. They sense a real value in being a star athlete. So they're willing to go to the extremes to help their kid become successful. They'll get the best coaching. They'll get mental coaching. They'll buy the best equipment for their child. They're willing to go to those extremes so that they can have that advantage and so that they can reach the pinnacle of their sport. And I think there's a pride issue for parents in that, hey, you know what? We've done a good job as parents because look at my child. Look how successful my child is now.
I also see parents who want their kids to excel academically. They want their kids to be perfect in every way. They tend to push the kids to sports as well.
If both of you could hold on just a little bit, I'm going to my break, but I would love to continue this.
Certainly.
Since Lisa just got on the phone. We'll hold on. We'll talk some more, find out what parents can do to be a good sports parent. That is when we come back right here on the Press Box, Blacksburg's ESPN Radio, AM 1430. And welcome. welcome back on this Friday afternoon. Glad to have you along on the Press Box. Coming up in hour number two today, we will start looking ahead toward the weekend. That is in college basketball. A lot of good top 25 contests going on. The Virginia Tech Hokies travel to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And one more reason why fans do not need to be voting for All-Star games, but we've been talking about what it takes to be a good sports parent and why some turn out to be, I guess, the sports monster category. And joining us on the line, we appreciate both of you holding over through the break, Dr. Patrick Cohen, his sister Lisa, and we appreciate you both holding on. And Lisa, talk to your brother a little bit, give a little background on you. Award-winning parenting writer, sports mom of four athletes, soccer coach, co-host of a radio show, Ultimate Sports Parents. So radio is not unusual for you.
Well, yes, and this is an internet radio show that has become very popular. We've been surprised at how people are picking up our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that all the young people are doing these days. I still haven't got an iPod. I guess I'm one of the older guys.
Well, we'll show you how to do it.
But anyway, I mean, reading to your sports mom, the four athletes, and I guess, do you try to teach your kids or, you know, try to show them how you're, you know, relating to their games, what it's the best way to be a sports parent?
Well, sure. You know, it's been a journey for me. Our kids are aged 8 to 18. So I have to say that early on with my son, who's now 18, I did make a lot of mistakes, and I was a little too invested in his games and his sports because it meant so much to him. And then I started writing about it and learning more. So, you know, when we pound on sports parents a little and call them monsters, in some ways it's a hard balance to strike when you're a sports parent. And I want to be clear about that. But in our family, we've seen it all. We've got kids who dance. We've got kids who play sports. We've got kids who play football. And I would say the hardest thing to deal with is the communicating with a coach. And I don't know if that's your experience, but that's what I've seen over the years.
Yeah, it's definitely the way some parents relate to the coaches is, you know, the bad way to go about it. But I want to ask you, you mentioned that you have one in dance, and I guess this is not just sports related. It can be in any activity a kid is in and a parent kind of overanalyzes and gets too involved with.
Yes, dance certainly is one of those. Gymnastics. Our workbook really applies to any child who's involved in any sport, and yes, that includes dance. Yeah, and we, in terms of over-involved parents, as a coach, I see them. And one of the worst things that ever happened to me was after a loss, one of the moms showed up at my practice and said that she was going to coach. That just shows you how over the top these people get. And these were second grade girls.
I'm laughing only because I've been to that level and I've seen that. It just amazes me that parents go this far.
Yeah, it is amazing, and I was so dumbfounded that I didn't know what to do. I stepped back and said, well, go ahead and coach. But I don't think they're going to win next game either. But they are having fun, and that's the most important thing.
How, and you just mentioned that, how important it is for the kids just to go out, have fun, you know, whether they win the game, whether they lose, the fact that they're out there playing and having a good time, it just seems to me if you're having fun, you're more likely to move up to the next level and continue playing or continue in that activity.
Absolutely. I don't know if Patrick mentioned this, but 75% of young athletes drop out of sports by the time they're 13, and that's because they're not having fun anymore. So pushing them into sports just doesn't work. You've got to let them have fun, and you can't let them get burnt out. So I've seen it at all levels.
I guess, Dr. Cohen, you see that in your experiences, kids coming in and saying they're not very, they're not having fun and they may want to get out of a certain sport or activity.
Yeah, well, they're either not having fun or they feel too much pressure to win all the time. I'm working with a high-level high school wrestler right now, and his expectations are to go in and win every single bout or every single match because he feels that from people around him, like his parents and his coach. That's just not healthy. I mean, I don't want to say it's unrealistic, but it's not healthy to feel like that you have to be perfect in your games and in your sport. And then that often will drive people away because they become so self-critical, or the coach is so critical of their performance, then it's very difficult for them to cope in that scenario. But remember, as athletes get higher and higher up, we're talking about very young athletes, I think, and what Lisa's referring to is second grade, third grade. But as you get higher and higher up, there's kind of a natural selection process, right, where only the strong are going to survive, and it gets a lot more competitive. And then you get into other issues as you get up into high school and collegiate sports.
Yeah, and I've seen, I guess America nowadays is, yeah, I remember when I was playing sports in youth leagues, you know, my teams never won. I never got trophies at the end. Nowadays, it seems like everybody gets a trophy just for participating. Is that, you know, something else that maybe American society is trying to push and tell everyone, tell every kid is a winner? It just seems that is the way our society has gone.
Well, I like the idea of every kid's a winner. I mean, not that you win every game, but that every kid's a winner no matter if you win every game or not. But I think what you're referring to is the idea that now we're rewarding kids for their sports participation with a lot of trophies and things. And some people would say that's manipulative. You're providing external rewards for kids to stay in sports and to like sports. You don't necessarily want kids to be involved in sports because they're going to get a trophy at the end of the season, right? That's a little bit controlling, and it's not the real reason you want them involved in sports. The real reason they need to be involved in sports is because it does build because it can have the effect of creating confidence and creating a sense of self-esteem. These are all positive qualities that kids can get from sports, if it's handled correctly, that they can carry throughout their lives. I know I feel like I developed a lot of confidence through playing sports as a kid.
Well,
so did I. Can I add something to that? I don't know if you can hear me.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
I'm involved in a number of teams, but one that my third graders, in at the end of the season, her soccer season, the coach had them, had all the kids stand up, and he said something nice about each one of them. And I thought that was a lot nicer than giving trophies. This person was a team, you know, was a good team sport. This person had a great attitude. This person was always there to make the assist. And if you can recognize their special qualities, I think that's the most important thing you can do.
Well, that kind of leads me into, I wanted to ask both of you, how do you deal with those difficult or negative coaches? It sounds like the one you were talking about is, you know, very positive, wants to say good things about all the kids, but there are some that are difficult and probably negative toward the kids.
We had a terrible experience with a coach who was abusive and threw balls at the boys. There were a group of fifth graders that my son was involved in, and the kids were petrified of him, and the worst part about it was that the parents were petrified of him. And we write a little bit about this in our workbook, and no one except me, I guess I'm the big mouth, was willing to call him up and say, you're really out of line. And one of the parents said to me, well, I wouldn't call him and challenge him because I don't want my kid to lose any playing time. So the parents were not looking out after their children who were really, really suffering.
And sometimes it's the only
time that you do talk to the coach and protect your kids.
And sometimes, Lisa, it's the only person in town. You know, I had a young fencer, 11, 12-year-old, come in here with her mom to meet with me, and they said the coach is from another country. He's maybe Russian or something. He coaches differently. He yells at the kids. He abuses the kids. And the mom said, he's the only coach in town. We don't know what to do. So sometimes they feel trapped that they don't know where to go elsewhere, that there aren't any other options, and they want to be with the best coach. But the parents are willing to kind of accept that their kid's going to be abused verbally because they're getting the best coaching.
Well, in that situation, the parents have to stick up for the kids, and they have to at least teach them how to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, and I think, some parents may shy away from that just a little bit. About ready to run out of time here, unfortunately, and I want to thank both of you for joining us. But I do want you to I know there's listeners out there that are going to be interested in this and want to check out your product. And how can they get and, you know, find out more information about this?
You can go to our website at youthsportspsychology.com. That's youth sports psychology. And they can sign up for a free ebook, download a free ebook, and read a little bit more about the challenges that parents and kids have in sports. And then they can also look into the Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports.
Now, and I would say that this is for any parent out there that has any kid in any activity, as we talked about, not just sports-related.
Well, sports-related, if you're talking about dance or gymnastics, mm-hmm. anything that involves movement, I would
right.
say.
Okay, well, we appreciate both of you, Dr. Cohen and Lisa Cohen. Thank you very much for joining us, holding through the break, and very interesting. Hopefully we can get more parents to be the sports angel or the ultimate sports parent and push them away from pushing the kids too much.
All right, thank you, Drake.
Hey, thank you very much. Once again, it's Dr. Patrick Cohen and his sister Lisa Cohen joining us to talk about their product.